Shalom and welcome on YahvahYahweh.name. I am Stephaniah, and we're going to be reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 8, today talking about popular music. 2 Chronicles 10, verse 8 is about the boy who took counsel of his buddies, his peers, but didn't take counsel of the father. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, "What counsel do you give to me to return answer to this people?" And they spoke unto him, saying, "If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever." But he, Rehoboam, forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up. And he said unto them, "What advice do you give we may return answer to this people which have spoken to me, saying, 'Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us'?" And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, "Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, 'Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us.' Thus shalt thou say unto them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions.'" And a word to the wise is sufficient. 2 Chronicles 10, verse 8. Hanging out with the wrong crowd. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Well, when we get into listening to rock and roll with our buddies, anything is likely to happen. Nihilism, sadomasochism, sodomy, rape, rap and bash dancing. Bash dancing? That means to cut each other as a sign of a good punker. Leviticus chapter 19, or Vayikra 19:26. And also they not only cut each other, but they spit. 19:26 in Vayikra. "You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment, nor observe times. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall thou mar the extremities," or in the King James, "thou shalt not mar the corners of thy beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am Yahweh. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my set-apart place. I am Yahweh. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am Yahweh, your Elohim." The rock group replied, the friends replied, "If you like our music, cut yourselves for us." Well, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 28, on this program about popular music. 1 Kings 18:28, "And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Choose one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your Elohim, but put no fire under it.' And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, 'O Baal, hear us.' But there was no voice nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Eliah mocked them and said, 'Cry aloud, for he is Elohim. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened or awaked.' And they cried aloud and cut themselves." They cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. "And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening offering, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. That's from the scriptures. 1 Kings 18:28. Yes, the punk rockers, made famous back in the 80s, one of their practices was to cut themselves. Can you even ever imagine that such a terrible thing would be suggested, let alone practice? Yes, it was done. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, talks about the wickedness around us. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah. And do not marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a messenger of light. Ha-Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed, if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works, or whose purpose shall be according to their works. Yes, they will reap what they have sown. Some of the singers that you may have heard of, if you were born in the 1950s or 40s, you would probably have heard of Led Zeppelin in the late 60s. Led Zeppelin and Robert Plant. They had the Stairway to Heaven album. And if you were to open up that album, and maybe you could go to a Goodwill store and see that, open it up and see a druid priest with a hexagram. So what message is that bringing? Yes, a one of Satanism. And using backwards masking as an effect in the music, if you were to hear the song While on Drugs, you'd hear it anyway. You'd hear it as you were playing the record forwards, but you could also play it backwards. There's a way to do that. And the words came out, whether or not it was intended, whether or not it was on purpose or not, but it says on that Stairway to Heaven, the one whose path, oh, it's my sweet Satan, the one whose path makes me sad, whose power is Satan. That was with Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven that we hear on the popular music stations even to this day. It's been 50 or 60 years, and these songs are still being played over and over with the corporate rock and roll and pop stations. Then there's the Black Sabbath satanic group on television. They all gave the satanic sign on TV. And in Ontario, Canada, they had an altar call to Satan. The avowed satanic rock groups include Black Sabbath, AC/DC, Kiss, which had the usage of the lightning bolt, and the motto, Satan was the god of thunder. And then Natas was a word that was a name that was used, and that's S-A-T-A-N spelled backwards, N-A-T-A-S. And then their motto there was Satan he is God, or they would repeat over and over Natas. The famous television host Art Linkletter, who had a good clean show, the TV host Art Linkletter blamed his daughter's death on the hidden lyrics in rock and roll. Raunch and Roll was one of the songs with Black Oak, Arkansas, BOA, Black Oak there, and they said it was the day that electricity came to Arkansas. And then some group had the song Red Rum Murder. One of the songs, country songs by Barbara Mandrell, had the song Married But Not to Each Other. And I can remember Rose Maddox with a song, Somebody Told Somebody. They're a little bit of, terrible. Spreading it around like that, that's terrible. And but then the very, very famous Beatles. So we're not going to go into very much depth this time on the program here. The Beatles' John Lennon with Revolution Number 9 also used that effect, the sound effect of backwards masking. Whether intentionally or not, we don't know. Only John Lennon would know that. And to hear it backwards, or to be on LSD, hearing it forwards in regular turntable play, as clockwise, it would say, "Turn me on, dead man, turn me on, dead man. Christianity will go." Former mass murderer Charles Manson of California listened to the lyrics of the Beatles' Helter Skelter, which inspired him to murder. That's on the White Album. And then talking about some of the comments and lifestyles of some of the singers here before we move on to another area. But Bill Haley in the comments. Bill Haley had Shake, Rattle, and Roll. It sounds like an innocent song. It's from 1954, the solid gold year with Bill Haley. And it was an actual immoral blues song, which Bill Haley toned down to be acceptable. And then there were many spin-offs of that song as well. Shake, Rattle, and Roll. So look out for that, and you shouldn't be listening to it. Even Buddy Holly and the Crickets. While in his teens, Buddy began disobeying his Christian parents. He was staying out late, drinking, smoking, shoplifting, gambling, carousing with immoral women. Buddy's friend Sonny Curtis remembers him as a drinker, loud, a smart aleck, headstrong. Even after publicly professing Messiah and being baptized, Buddy told his parents that he had no intention to stop his sinful ways. And that excerpt comes to us from David Cloud at www.thewayoflife.org. He has extensive background information. He has extensive research on music, The Way of Life. Also, sermonaudio.com. Search for David Cloud. One of our celebrities, Conway Twitty, who sang many songs that would be equivalent to the country or country crossover songs, but Conway said in this quote, "There is no doubt that we are contributing to the moral decline in America, and now, of course, the decline of morals in the world." Elvis Presley. Elvis did not believe in any traditional sense. His Messiah was a false one. Elvis constructed a personalized religion out of what he read of Hinduism, Judaism, numerology, theosophy, mind control, positive thinking, and Christianity. That excerpt from the book Hungry for Heaven on page 143. The night that Elvis Presley died back in 1977 in August, he was reading the book Sex and Psychic Energy. And that reference is Elvis, The Last 24 Hours by Goldman. Don't have a double standard. You got to clear out your closet and set a good example, not a double standard. Don't become immune to subtle sin in the media, and become aware of what media is doing to you. And obedience is what Yahweh requires from us, our Heavenly Father requires, but rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Obedience doesn't equal rebellion. It isn't equivalent to rebellion. It is doing the Father's will, following the Word, following Scriptures, walking in the way the Messiah walked. So watch out for the evil beat, the syncopated rhythm, the excess volume, and the personal traits of the singer who sets the standards for others, like the satanic groups, the Eagles. You would open up the record album and there would be an onk, and then they would explain to you how to worship by concentrating on that onk, or how to go on a drug trip and concentrate on that. The habits of the personal stars should be important as we listen to different ones. Sometimes we tend to ignore that facet of their life, of their personal habits that they promoted. such as witchcraft. And, of course, their participation in evil activities, the objectionable moral impacts on the hearer. And we learn that information not only from David Cloud and Sermon Audio, but from Bob Larson and from Dr. Samuel Bakioki of www.biblicalperspectives.com. Eastern religion in songs is prevalent, and the Eastern religion in songs are responsible for some of our children going to the cults. May Messiah Yahusha clean up our listening libraries by the power of His Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. Hallel Yahuwah. Now here's more about the rock singers, mainly from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, although the current information on the number of people who have overdosed by drugs and so on of rock musicians and their fans is not noted here. Now, the rock group Queen did their anthem was "We Are the Champions," and it was the national anthem of sodomites there. And some of their quotes: "Satan's trophies are dead children. Satan wants to take your children." Of them, Freddie Mercury on stage says, "I am the devil." Peter Criss wanted to get out of the rock group Black Magic, and last report, he went to church. So hopefully he stayed out of it. Most of them go back, though, to the filth. And Mike was a former sound man from Kiss who supported another heavy metal rock group. Kiss was deeply involved in Black Magic. Mike Plotini was said to be, later on, he was said to be a Christian, however. And then Gene Simmons is quoted in Time magazine that he had performed 1,000 sexual acts and also was into witchcraft. Satanists were known to pray over their rock tapes before the consumer bought them. The Rolling Stones. Now, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones made a pact with Satan that he would die at age 40 or so. Blondie, from the 1970s album, had this suicidal motto, "Die young and stay pretty," and the album The Rapture. The Undisputed Truth was another rock group. Smiling Faces Sometime was one of their songs that I do remember from the late 60s. The Undisputed Truth album showed a demon hanging on the cross in Messiah's place. And the very, very phrase of rock and roll meant backseat love. It was done in the drive-in. The definition of a gig is an orgy. Funky is the odor of a, but we won't talk about that. A bash is dancing and punks cutting each other. One rock group said, "If you like our music, cut yourself for us." And then when they mock morals, they mock the scripture, and they mock you, they are also mocking Yahweh. Even Buddy Holly used his music and lifestyle to promote moral licentiousness and to help create the debauched rock and roll society, which unfortunately we're feeling the results of very heavily today. The book Rock Facts, which is published by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum, admits that rock is not just a type of music, it is a lifestyle. They say that rock and roll has truly become a universal language. Rock and roll also refers to an attitude, a feeling, a style, a way of life. Of Jerry Lee Lewis, much was written about his life, his sad, sad life. And he had been married 7 times, had an affair with a 13-year-old, and married 7 times. Jerry Lee Lewis is what the scripture calls a double-minded man, according to the book of James, chapters 1 and chapter 4, verse 8. And then the religious like to copy this, but we're supposed to come out of Babylon. We're not supposed to imitate the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, according to 12th chapter of Romans. But rock bands are famous for their loudness, and that trend is coming and is happening now in the churches. It's coming up. If it hasn't come to a church near you, just stand by or speak up and speak out against the loud music. Anything over 90 decibels, you can get a little program on your cell phone and measure a certain distance from the loudspeakers, and you can tell what the loudness is. The decibel range cannot be by the law over 90 decibels. As long as we make a joyful noise unto Yahweh. Well, what do you mean by a joyful noise? Is it a joyful sound of praise, or is it just noise, raunch, and imitating the world? If we make a noise unto Yahweh, rock bands with their electronic equipment producing a powerful, thundering, loud noise, it's alleged that Yahweh is made very happy by such joyful noises. But, brother, sir, or ma'am, our worship music should reflect the music that we expect to sing in the fellowship of the Father and the Son in the world to come, that we will sing in this very throne room before the Father. Are the Father, Son, and the pure Spirit honored by our music? Does our music reflect the peace, purity, and majesty of our Yahweh, of our Creator, of the one that we love, of the husband we hope to see face to face? Can we imagine singing our church music one day when we stand before the indescribable majesty of Yahweh? Paul reminds us in Philippians 3, verse 20, that our citizenship is in heaven. This means that every aspect of our lives, including our music, should be seen as a preparation for eternity with Yahweh. Our lives, including our culture, our music, our media, should be as a preparation for eternity with and for Yahweh. And I think that other than my changing the names to their proper Hebrew names instead of the substitutes, as we've done there from the scriptures, the King James Version, we changed the epithet, the word Lord, back to its original Hebrew in the underlying text, to Yahweh. And but I think the quote that I just made about our worship music is probably from biblicalperspectives.com with Dr. Bakayoki. And for more media and music, you can research our website, Yahweh.name. And there are many tools there that you might enjoy and that would be inspirational. And we'll talk about some of the, in a moment, we'll talk about some of the good inspirational music that that I and others listen to. If you're a musician, you need to listen carefully, and not the noise of the devil, the intensive media, the twisted culture, but we need to pay attention to Yahweh's music, the music, the melody, the harmony, and the rhythm, not rock. We don't want to rock out. I've heard Christian camp meetings for the children saying, "We're going to rock for Jesus." And that's antithetical to a separated walk with Messiah. And they're copying from the world. And some would say, "Well, I don't see how that's so bad. What do? See a demon behind every rock?" Well, maybe there is a demon in it. Maybe there is a demon in some of our world views that we need to let the Spirit of Yahweh root out. Let Him do some surgery in our hearts and enter the temple. Oh, and we do have a program on the website there, Yahweh, about temple music and temple dances. Temple dancing, that is, whether or not that should be done. And One of the titles of the program is Intensive Media Twisted Culture, Noises in the Assembly, Music, Melody, Harmony, and Rhythm and Rock. What are some of the examples that are exhibited by those who are heavily into the rock movement as opposed to just plain secular music that may have no moral or good or bad? What's the end or the product of those who are really get into rock? What's the behavior? Well, here's a long list. It's over a dozen words long. Divorce, destruction, demonic supernatural, and idolatry, death, Eastern mysticism, black magic, blasphemy, suicide, sodomy, seance, spiritualism, transcendental meditation, or TM, which was exhibited by Gary Wright's song Dream Weaver. That was a number one song on the charts for many, many weeks. Dream Weaver there on TM. Some of the other manifestations of those into rock is what they intend. Psychic phenomenon, rape, occult, witchcraft. And as you listen to the song One of These Nights by the Eagles and Witchy Woman, you might discover that that's true, that witchcraft was being promoted in those songs. Kiss is Gene Smith with the ancient pagan symbol of demon worship, the extended tongue. Another manifestation is misogynism, drugs, drug overdose, death, insanity, LSD, broken homes. Some singers, including Eric Clapton, had a brief spiritual conversion for the good. But like Jerry Lee Lewis, fell back. And so we're hoping and praying for Eric Clapton. I hope he's still around, that there's still some hope for Eric and some of his band there. Other manifestations, rebellion against authority, rebellion against mom and dad, pot smoking, a lack of love for Yahweh and for others. And now a quick word about discos, and then we're into the more joyful aspects of music, media, and radio. So quickly, talking about discos, that typically you can get the music in there really cranked up way too loud. It might be just up at that, up at the maximum level of 90 dB, hopefully less. And then the beat is really pronounced and very effective and against your spirit and against your own heart rate, with a minimum of 125 beats per minute. Typically at a disco where the motto would be love thyself, everyone's a winner, you're into sex, cynicism, success, nothing matters except the body. Nothing matters except our bodies. And of course, some of them would claim, well, I'm not only into the flesh and carnal, I'm into spiritualism. Yeah, everything is spiritual, they say. But is it the spiritual that we find in the scripture that is proven to be the word of Yahweh and that shows us the manifestation of the love of the Father to us and the love from the Son, from Messiah, where he died on the tree at Calvary about 2,000 years ago, and he died to wipe away and wash away all of our sins. Some of those deceased by drugs, I don't have the updated list of the years 2000s here. They're in the kind of in the back of my mind. So, but those we know of are Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Michael Jackson, Jim Morrison, Brian Jones, Al Wilson of Canned Heat, probably not to be confused with the solo singer, Bob Marley, Keith Moon of The Who, Elvis Presley, Tommy Bolin of Deep Purple, Sid Vicious, Robin McIntosh of the AWB, all white band. Robin McIntosh, died of drugs, according to the reports. And who purchased their records and supported their habits? Well, thankfully I did not. As a unbeliever, and then later as a believer, I still didn't purchase their records. However, as a secular disc jockey and into a rock station, one of them in called Kissin' Radio, unfortunately I had, I was the evangelist for rock and roll music. I had to play those songs on the turntable, and the pastor said, "Now don't leave. Don't leave now, you're making good money," you know. In other words, you know, keep the job until Yahweh replaces with something better. He doesn't promise us something better. If we're going to give up a spiritual sin, we better do it with the power of the Spirit and on our determination that we are convicted and that we love Him. So we're going to give these things up. We don't need to have our pockets lined with gold before we're convinced to give up a sinful habit or sinful practice. Now, some of the good music and that I played on some of recent programs, as I've been around on the internet, I discovered Clay Cross. He spells his last name with an E, C-R-O-S-S-E. Clay Cross with "His Love Is Coming Over Me." That's a good sound from 1995. And it's to be to our Heavenly Father. His love is coming over me. And then we had the song about Mount St. Helens from Corky Corson and Buckboard in 1981. And we had Chicago, "Wishing You Were Here." Beautiful sounds, beautiful songs. And I don't know if you could say that there's anything at all wrong with that song. Not in the beat, the rhythm, the melody, the harmony. What a beautiful composition, "Wishing You Were Here." It doesn't mean that their lifestyles necessarily were anything to talk about. I don't know. Then they had the song, "Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is?" That'd be a good question for us. Do we know that we're near the end? Thank you for Chicago for that. Dallas Holm, great Christian singer, and he came to our town and our high school. In 1979, he sang "I'll Rise Again," speaking of our Messiah. Sarah Vaughan and Della Reese sang some wonderful songs, very romantic and sentimental. Bobby Rydell, some of these were from the Disney, the early Disney, not the sodomite Disneys, but had some wonderful songs, just beautiful 45s. Rydell, and then there was Bobby V, and he was in some of those beach movies, but his songs all seem so innocent. There are probably a few that actually were not, and you have to really critically look at them. Frankie Avalon was my favorite, "When a Girl Changes from Bobby Socks to Stockings." And then "Where Were You?" He talks about that he had the wedding ring, and he was there, and he was, you know, probably at the altar waiting for his bride, and the moon was out, but "Where Were You?" Yeah, she had a career, maybe a CEO, making a lot of bucks. There, Frankie Avalon, actually in 1959, before their CEO's position was ever created. Then we have Ray Price, who might have sang a couple of wonderful songs. "Bring Back the Springtime" was one of them, a beautiful spiritual song. And he might have had a few songs of compromise. I don't know, because I never really listened to that country music until Ray Price came along and really ministered, really hit us with some good music. There is the Christian group Delirious in 1982. "I Could Sing of Your Love Forever." There was Keith Green, who was very talented, inspirational child prodigy on the Man on the Ed Sullivan Show as well, and a great composer. He worked with the Salvation Army, Keith Green, who later died in a plane accident. Hopefully it wasn't intentional. It was an accident supposedly caused by lightning, and Keith Green. Arthur Fiedler of the Boston Pops Orchestra gave us the Sleigh Ride. Mitch Miller and the Gang with "Winter Wonderland." There are the drifters with this magic moment and just the whole gamut of wonderful romantic songs. And I don't know whether there'd be anything intrinsically bad about those by the drifters, even though the group broke up a lot and was replaced and a lot of underlying things were going on, terrible things to those men. It's very, very sad, very ironic that would happen. There was Doris Day. Then Dinah Shore gave us some wonderful songs, but she and Bing Crosby ganged up on us. It Ain't Necessarily So, which cast doubt upon the scriptures. And they would mention, like, Jonah and the whale. You know, what a facetious idea they were trying to get us to think, and a doubt about the word. I think we do need more doubt. We need to doubt our doubts. So shame on you, Bing Crosby and Dinah Shore, for that song. Ain't others. It Ain't Necessarily So. One of the fantastic singers was Tommy Edwards. He did Please Mr. Sun. That was probably a little bit on the idolatry side there, but he also did Honestly and Truly, I Love You, by the great and late Tommy Edwards. Oh, man. Ed Townsend had a great voice, pretty much similar to the genre of Tommy Edwards. Then you have Gene Pitney. All of his songs just seemed like they were really great. In 1961, With Every Breath I Take, a lot of production, a lot of inspiration in those songs, a lot of perspiration and inspiration. If it has those two elements, then I generally like it. And we couldn't go on without mentioning Jim Webb and his compositions, and Glenn Campbell, who sang his songs, or Jack Blanchard and Misty Morgan with the Tennessee Bird Walk, or how about supposedly was a softer rock and roll was Herman's Hermits. They had a song, No Milk Today, in 1967, so that they wouldn't send you to bed without your warm glass. Paul Anka from Canada rang out, Let the Bells Keep Ringing. Even Paul McCartney has some of the evil statements that he made. But Paul McCartney and Sir Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder with Ebony and Ivory, a two-part harmony. And boy, he could really compose the songs. It's too bad that his doctrine was so terrible. And into idolatry. You heard the Diamonds, if you were born back in the 40s or 50s. You heard Neil Sedaka and Petula Clark from England. Phil Keaggy. Phil did Your Love Broke Through. One of the great songs that really stood out, that he was in the forefront, like Keith Green was, in giving us some of the greatest contemporary Christian music. I can't say too much for some of the later CCM songs. Then we had the Kalin Twins, When Will You Be Mine? The Playmates with Joanne. Jim Reeves, I believe he died in an airplane wreck. There's Johnny Ray from the Dalles, Oregon. And Johnny had some very, The Little White Cloud That Cried, some wonderful inspirational songs, just a whole gamut of music. Of course, we can't say too much about the lifestyle of Johnny Cash, but he had some pretty good numbers there. There was Johnny Crawford, Johnny Mathis, and of course, many good orchestral groups, and Ray Conniff singers and the like. I can't recall another one that was very similar to that. It's beautiful music. And then along the Christian genre, back in the day, it was singer Dave Boyer who came out of the New Jersey Strip, and his testimony is that he was saved. So back in the 70s and 80s, some excellent big band Christian music from Dave Boyer. As of more recent times here, we have Brad Grumman from Oregon, and he had a song that sounded a lot like Billy Joel's song. This one is called You Just Can't Stay the Way You Are. Dave Polson ministered and tickled the ivory. He played Overshadowed. Dino Kartsanakis, I think is how you pronounce that, where the accent goes, but how he wants to come in. And he often performed, I understand, with the Continentals, or at least was on their label, Dino, as he was familiarly called back in the 80s. Dino and Dave Polson, Pohlson. Very flush, very soft anyway. Piano music. We have the great, powerful voice of Luke Garrett. And look up Luke Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. He did the song Magnify and the Breath of God, or the Breath of Yah, I would say. And then I found an album with a local singer from, I think she was an Adventist, possibly, from Canyonville, Oregon, Marcia, M-A-R-C-I-A. And a lot of great songs on her album, including You Were There. From Portland, we have the Tunesmith, whose name is Tim Smith. And mostly up songs, but not up for the sake of being up. It just happened to turn out that way, that his songs had a lot of energy to them, but that wasn't his goal. The end of the song wasn't just to have an upbeat all the time, like they're having in many places these days of worship. As I have attended one there in Portland for a number of years, and it was great messianic teaching, and even the music was great. They do the dancing, you know, the messianic dancing, but then it got out of control. They started getting way into the secular and doing some bad stuff, and then cranking the volume up way, way, way too loud, that we had to leave. The Heritage Singers, We'll Talk It Over, and also Jim McDonald with a deep, deep, deep country spirit. Jim there from the Heritage Singer group. Larnell Harris, who gave us some Christian soul. Beautiful, beautiful music. Somewhere within the broadcast here, I forgot to put in some words about a secular artist, Wilson Pickett, who had a terrible lifestyle. I don't have any samples of songs. That someone once said that he was in the fence business, but probably not, having a name like Pickett. So anyway, maybe we can enter that into the program. For those of you to see the extremities of the lifestyle of some of these rock singers, that was just really bad, unfortunately, or sadly I should say. And we will we're going to wind up here with some beautiful music is how we'll wind it up, and give praise unto Yah and thank Him for the singers who have become converted and allowed Yah in their hearts to write His new covenant in their hearts and minds, and to have their sins forgiven by the Almighty Savior and Messiah, Yahusha. We thank Him for the good artists, for even some of the great secular ones. There's some great classical artists. I didn't mention any of those, but there's also some bad classical music, and they're very negative for warlike theatrical music that I can identify right away in my spirit. I am a very discerning when I hear something like that, some sort of music that clashes with my spirit, and so I rush to the radio and change the channel. But thank Yah for these other great singers like Dallas Holm and Clay Cross and the so many wonderful singers. Dave Boyer and Dave Polson, Dino Kartsanakis. What's that group I listen to on the weekend? That they do some nice country music, but one of my favorites, and I can't even think of them. But the Something Family. That's right. Okay, and just praise y'all for all the good music that's being released these days. What is it? Oh, Joe Peerless is good if you've never listened to him before. Then we discovered another country singer from Saskatchewan who does very meaningful messianic Christian music. And I'm sorry I don't have his name here, but I'll try to put that up on our website one of these days when I get back to it. He sang with one of these watchdog groups, the Berean Call of all places, but he did such a wonderful, inspirational job. What is the name of that group? The name of that group was the Gaither Family, Bill Gaither Trio and earlier forms, Bill Gaither. And so that's about it, and the comments and so forth about pop music, and particularly the rock, and we believe that we're rock crushers here. We're crushing the bad stuff, and out comes the fine, refined, polished gems that we are today, right? So let's make that our goal, to only let the good enter our spirits. In Yahushua's name, we pray peace and blessings for you and your family, and may your house be filled with beautiful music.